Welcome back to the Nathaniel Bibby podcast. This episode is an audio recording of Monday Night Live. If you haven't tuned in, every Monday, 6 p.m. West Australia time, I'm live on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn. This is a recording of Monday Night Live. We always share the best episodes on the podcast. If you're listening on iTunes, please do leave us an honest review to go in the runnings to win some free stuff, some free training, LinkedIn Insider membership, stuff like that. I'm doing giveaways every month. So I'd appreciate that. Without further ado, let's get into this episode of the podcast. This week's guest is David J.P. Phillips. David J.P. Phillips is a successful TEDx speaker with over 17 million views online, 20 years of experience. He studied 5,000 of the world's greatest speakers and discovered the 110 steps of communication. After founding Headgain in 2020, David has grown his social media presence to well over millions of followers, sharing insights and education on the crucial skill of communication. Check out his TED Talks if you haven't, The Magical Science of Storytelling, The 100 Techniques of Communication, and How to Avoid Death by PowerPoint. They are truly a great display of presenting and storytelling. I've learned so much from watching David J.P. Phillips on social media and YouTube and his TED Talks. Can't recommend them enough. I'm so excited to get into the interview. Let's get started. David J.P. Phillips.
Yay!
Here we are.
Here we are. Good
How
to
are
see you?
You,
man.
Yes, you too.
I am absolutely fabulous. We have autumn in Sweden, and it's just the most beautiful part of the year.
Yeah, mycket bra.
Mycket bra. Well, that's good. That's awesome. You know Swedish.
That's about the extent of it. No, and awesome. And I know how to say skull as well. Skull.
Not bad. Damn, I didn't bring anything. Should have brought some snaps.
It's a different time of day there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's lunch at the moment. 12 o'clock.
Beautiful. Well, it's 6 p.m. here in Perth, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. Do get a lot of guys from all around the world tuning in. A lot of Aussies. So let us know in the comments where you're tuning in from, guys. Say hello. Let's make this as interactive as possible. We've got David for about 45 minutes or so, so it's an opportunity to ask any questions you like. I'll give you a bit of background, how I came across David personally, if you like. I came across David's TED Talk on the magical power of storytelling and the science of storytelling, and then I watched your other TED Talks and been following you on Instagram and more recently on TikTok. David's been a big inspiration to my public speaking career and also the social media content I put out. So he's one of those mentors I was saying before we got on that doesn't know he's a mentor, but has influenced a lot of what I do. So I'm very excited. You can tell I'm probably a little bit nervous, which is unusual for me. So we've got legends in the house, ladies and gentlemen. So drop in the comments and say hello. We've got Lacey here. We've got somebody from Kenya. Drop in the comments, say hello, guys. But David, for those of you that haven't come across one of your amazing talks online, could you tell us a bit about your background and how you got into what you do today?
I don't know. I've got no idea. I don't know why it began. I've had this constant passion that I find it to be unfair that one person can communicate, can do stories, and they will have a brilliant life. Based on that, they will get better work, jobs, they'll get a better career, they will have better relationships. And the people who cannot communicate, they have the opposites, most commonly. And I think it's unfair that one single skill can make such a difference in a person's life. So I'm here on Earth to primarily give free communication skills to kids and youths to grow up into a better society through that.
And when did you decide that was your calling? How early on was it?
I don't know. I just don't know when it actually happened. It's like it seems like I evolved into it. And there were a bunch of events when I was young, which I know could have impacted me but I don't know if they're true or not. Like, that was definitely the event. You know, there was this one time I was cycling from the park. I was 15. The guy in front of me was 15. Suddenly, three 16-year-old boys comes out and they kick him off the bike. They start punching him and beating him, and he's bloody. And I become so angry. And they're bigger than me, and I scream like I'm insane. And I scare them off, which I don't think I expected. I picked this 15-year-old up, and he was bullied. And he was pretty much bullied because he wasn't able to communicate in school. He wasn't good at communicating himself. And I think the bullying was a result of that. And that could have been like the initiating sequence. Could be.
Mm.
I've got a bunch of those there.
And when you were saying in the TED talk that you researched thousands of professional speakers and came up with a bunch of skills, presentation skills. Where did you start doing that research?
Could be, well, my last project was to study 5,000 speakers for 7 years to find the 110 common skills we all use, like you're nodding at the moment, which is one of those skills. Well done.
Don't tell me all the things I'm doing wrong.
And then, that's what I wanted to do, because I like to make things more efficient
mm-hmm.
and less friction and more efficient. So when I was coaching people, I thought to myself, hey, Nathaniel, he was nodding his head when he was listening to me. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if I give that skill to that person, will that improve their communication skills? And it did. So then I thought, I wonder how many of those there are. So I started counting them. And then it just took 7 years to find the absolute majority of them, at least. I could have missed one or two, but so they're not very common.
Yeah. And did you start the presentation skills training business before the TED Talk, or did that come after?
That came at the same time, practically. I've been doing public speaking training for 15 years, and this was only, I began this study about 9 years ago.
Wow. And did you anticipate the success and the amount of popularity that the TED Talks would have received?
In a way, I think I did. In a way, I could have kind of comprehend that it was my way to move out of Sweden. So I know I put a lot of work into my TED Talk, a lot of work. I think I like 4 hours per minute or something like that.
Wow.
I knew that if I did that well, it could help me to move out of Sweden, like in my profession.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That definitely comes across. You can definitely tell that you put that amount of preparation in.
Yeah.
Just want to give a couple of shout outs here. We've got Neil tuning in. Lacey's tuning in from Perth. We've got Tim in the house, who's obviously a supporter. Thanks for the comments, guys. Let us know where you're tuning in from, and don't be afraid to ask questions as we go as well.
Yeah, please do. Happy to answer them. Yep.
And so I've got a couple of I've got a few directions I want to go today. But first of all, what is I want to look at your social media, and you had a lot of great stories in your TED Talks, but when I have a look at like your TikTok, there's like story after story after story after story. How do you come up with stories? What do you think the best way is for people to come up with stories? Because they're not always things that have happened to you, are they? Sometimes they're, you know, fables. I saw one today on TikTok about the two people and the donkey. You know, where do you come up with these stories, and how do you suggest people do that?
Well, the easiest route is obviously to find old stories from like ancient texts and stuff like that, and then just remake them into the TikTok format, because usually they're written incredibly extensive. So they're 7 minutes long in the original text. You have to bring them down into sub 60 seconds for TikTok to like them. And that is that's that challenge. But then secondly, you and I, we probably experience 50 possible stories per day, even if it's a pretty slow day. And one of them could have the possibility and the opportunity to teach somebody else something. So then you ask yourself, can this be made into a story? What I teach people is this: if you want to become a storyteller, you need to think like a storyteller. And when you start to think like a storyteller, you see all the events in your life as a story. It's super interesting. You don't do this if you have not trained to be a storyteller. But as soon as you have, you start seeing your life like, oh, that was a conflict. Mm, interesting. Now, there must be a resolution to this. Ah, yes, there was. Ooh, there has to be a conclusion to this. Ooh, what's the other character? Could I see this from the perspective of the lady sitting on the balcony instead of mine, or the passerby in the car? And you see your life from these perspectives, and suddenly you can create stories from practically nothing.
Yeah. And so for somebody that's not used to telling stories, where's a good place for them to start, do you think?
I think it's
Yeah, because a lot of people, this is certainly the case with me. It wasn't until, like, I had to do quite a bit of sharing to actually find my stories, and then I go, oh, that resonated. And then I perfect it. And now I see them more often. No doubt I don't see as many as you do. But when you're starting out, what's the best place to look? Because a lot of people don't think they have anything worth sharing.
Yeah. I think the having the four-step structure in storytelling opens up your mind to what a story truly is. Because the story is simple. It's a prep. It's a background. It's a development, and it's a conclusion. That's it. Any Hollywood movie can be split into these four steps. Any event, any story ever told can be split into these events. But the thing is that most people, they jump into step number, step number three, i.e. development. That's what most people just throw themselves into. So somebody asks them, how was your weekend? And then boom, you just throw yourself into the action of the weekend. You miss the entire opportunity to build a story. So, for instance, you could then have started with a prep. Oh, my weekend was insane, right? And then you go for the background. You go, you know, Friday, I was so tired, so beat up. I was planning on lying in bed all weekend. Do you know what happens? Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, somebody's knocking at my door. I'm like, who's that? And then this happened. And then suddenly people are going like, this is exciting stuff. I want more of this. I don't know what happened on the Saturday morning, but I want to know who knocked on the door. So you just, that's the only thing you have to do. Like, see your life and your events in your life from these four steps, and you'll start to see stories and tell stories, and then just go for it. And you will receive feedback from your audience, from yawns or laughters, and then you just calibrate your storytelling skills from that.
Yeah. And stories have a way to capture people, keep them engaged. And, you know, this is something I knew on a subconscious level, but you explained it in the terms of, you know, the brain science behind all of this. Can you share with us a little bit about what goes on in a brain when somebody shares a story like the example you just presented?
Sure. In order to, you and I and every sapient ancestor we've ever had has a prefrontal cortex, and its purpose in this particular case is to simulate the future and repeat the past. So we are constantly repeating the past in the likes of, when I did that, this happened. And when I acted this way, they said this. And we spend a lot of time doing this, and some people do it more. And, maybe they go back and they go like, why did they say this? Oh, why did I do that? Oh, why did I quit my job? And they tell sad stories about themselves. Some tell hero stories about themselves. And then we use the simulation of the future by going, okay, if I go into the meeting and I say this and I behave like this, they may say this. So I should have planned this. This is our brain. This is how it understands reality. If without that, you would not be able to exist. So when I tell a story about the person knocking on the door, for you to understand that story, you become the character. So you are the one that just woke up in the morning, heard the knocking. That's the only way you can relate to a story. So when you look at a movie and something's embarrassing, the only reason you feel embarrassment is because you become the character. So that's the power of storytelling. When you're actually selling something to somebody through storytelling, they have actually already bought it because they're simulating themselves from the role that you're speaking of, which could be a different customer.
Mm-hmm. And And I'm curious as well, you know, you've been teaching people presentation skills for over 15 years. How have you taken that experience and applied it to the online context of Instagram, TikTok? Because you've obviously done a great job and there's a lot of similarities. What differences have there been that you've had to apply?
Shorter.
Yeah. Everything's got to be.
Simple answer. It's got to be shorter. Yeah. And the dopamine hook has to be faster. Like when I tell a story at a party, the dopamine hook can be at least 10, 15 seconds in. But on TikTok, it has to be 2 seconds in.
Mm. And is that, and when you say the dopamine hit, is that always curiosity, intrigue, or are there other ways that you do it as well?
No, that's mainly it. Yeah, it's the key is anticipation. So you want to hear something within 2 seconds that sparks anticipation, that something could be more interesting than scrolling to the next TikTok.
Yeah. And I think that's got to be one of the biggest mistakes that certainly the businesses that I work with, the individuals that I work with that create content, when they do create content, they don't take the time to frame it up front and build that anticipation. Mm. They just sort of launch straight into it, which is similar to what you were saying about the storytelling, and they don't do the first two steps. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't that strange, though, you know? Like, you said just your majority of clients do that. It's so strange that we are automatically bad communicators. It's like our base level of communication as a human being is bad. It sucks. I don't know how many times I've done the exercise where I've asked in my public speaking trainings, I've asked anyone, okay, stand up, present yourself. You have 1 minute. And there's 100 people doing that. And then I say, all right, so the chances of you that you presented yourself in this way, what you do, how you do it, where you do it, and when you do it, with who you do it. How many of you did your presentation like that? And it's 99 hands out of 100. And then I say, but that's not even relevant to the person that you're speaking to. None of that is relevant. How do you expect hooking a person if you just blah a minute of what you've done and how you've done it and where you've done it? You've got to find a relatable fact. The first thing that you do when you open your mouth and you know, find their why, find their passion. That is what you have to ignite. If you don't do that within 2-3 seconds in TikTok, you're gone. At least 5 seconds, 10 seconds on YouTube. That's a trick. I'm just amazed that automatically by base level, people are bad at communicating.
Mm. We've got a couple of questions that have dropped in the comments here, so I'll bring some up. We've got Paul, who's over in the UK. He's asked, what is the best way of using stories on social media when people have such short attention spans? I suppose we're diving a bit deeper into what we've just been discussing, aren't we?
Yeah. So I think the platform where people have the shortest attention span is probably TikTok. And the way I build my stories on TikTok is that they're supposed to be super snappy. That they have to move a person through the entire story in a really quick way with dopamine. But at the same time, I've also found that I've seen some storytellers on YouTube or on TikTok, which are very, very good. And they just do dopamine. Like, gada, gada, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. I didn't expect that. And then this happened. And the woman screamed. It's like, you're bombarded with all these impressions. So it overloads your brain, and you just enjoy that sensation. But I've also realized when I do storytelling, I try to enjoy the oxytocin part of it, like making the character important, creating a connection, doing it slow, with intense eye contact, with pauses, like I'm there for them. Also thinking about that, everything you are is the story, like how you're dressed, your backdrop, your sound, your video quality. Everything around you is a story as well. So, and I found that to be very important when I do storytelling, what is around me. This is not where I do my keynotes. This manner is from 1796. So it's super old. And there's a room up there, which is about 100 square meters. It's beautiful. Right? It's hand-drawn paintings from 1796 on the walls. You got an open stove. You got candles. You got an open fire. And there I have my camera with that backdrop. And as soon as I turn on my keynote, people are absolutely blown away by the impression of the backdrop and the story it may carry. And now when I give my story, everything around me is associated and creates that immersive feeling of the story. That compared to sitting with a white background, entirely just white, you cannot even compare that.
Yeah, so important, so important. Yeah. Lacey's asked, what is the key to a great hook under 10 seconds?
Well, there are so many. I'd say that, you know, normal TikTok hooks are, I wish I'd learned this before I was 30. And other TikTok hooks could be, this is the most mind-blowing fact I've ever learned. Or you could go, this story will amaze you. And then you go into it. A very popular hook on TikTok is, a teacher walked into the room, because as there's a lot of children there, they can relate quicker to that fact. So I've tried, the wise man walked into the room, the child walked into the room, the teacher walked into the room. I've tried various hooks on this. And the hook of what does a teacher, the teacher walks into a room, they can relate to that. And that creates a sensation of dopamine, because now they want to know what the teacher does in the room. So relatable characters also bring out a sensation of anticipation that you want to know what happened. Especially just imagine this, a 13-year-old boy walked into a room. Every 13-year-old boy watching my TikTok will now watch this with much higher efficiency than anyone 20-year-old. So the character relatability.
I'm just thinking how I could apply this to LinkedIn. The boss walked into the room.
The boss walked into the room. Oh my God. No, absolutely. Character is everything.
Yeah. And I'm not active on TikTok at all, but I guess this must be the best training ground. As you're talking, I'm thinking, yeah, this is really good training. Being able to do it that short opens it up. You develop your skills so much quicker for places like LinkedIn. So.
It's a freaking boot camp. It is a freaking boot. I've done 300 TikToks this year. That's a lot.
And especially with the preparation you put into them.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got to keep on improving them and making a better understanding what's happening. And yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's a new format. I'm loving it.
Yeah. And so tell us a bit about your business and the services you offer. I know you've got online courses. I know you do keynotes. Tell us a bit about the services that you do offer and what are you most passionate, what are you most focused on at the moment?
I think the biggest thing for me at the moment is I love training people to become more awesome at public speaking and storytelling. So I'm doing online masterclass and online first class. First class is like the first step of becoming an awesome public speaker. And then when you've completed that, you can move into my masterclass. I love that because it's like joining people from all over the world, talking about these challenges and giving them all the skills. And it's life changing for so many. So I think that's what is closest to my heart now, my friend. And besides that, I do keynotes every single day, like one, two keynotes digitally every day. So that's a big thing. Storytelling is hot. It's smoking hot. You know, I've got companies from practically all over the world. They're saying exactly the same thing. They say this. David, we have this problem where our clients don't get what we're selling. We need to tell the client a story that supersedes what they even thought they needed. And then they will buy our products. And that's true. That is entirely true. It's like if you're selling Advil, like aspirin or headache pill, to somebody who's got a headache, you go like, here you go, here's an aspirin. And they buy it. And you keep selling them aspirins because they got a headache. And then suddenly a competitor comes by and they say, let me paint you a vision. Let me paint you this vision. You wake up in the morning and you don't have a headache. There'll be no headache because I can give you the skills you need to go to the gym and eat right, and you'll never have a headache again. And the person who sold the aspirin will go into bankruptcy, but the person who came with the other concept, they will instead be able to sell something else. So yeah, that's the biggest thing at the moment. It's monumentally big storytelling.
Yeah. And this was proved as well by the significant object study that you talk about, wasn't
Oh my God, yeah. It's incredible how it's just insane, isn't it? It's like if you walk around in your house, Nathaniel,
Yeah.
you can look at objects which are worthless to somebody else, but you would pay so much money to keep. Yeah, so if you had a thief that came into you, right, and they looked at all the stuff that looks like it's got no value, how much would you pay them to not steal a particular object, which for them seems worthless? You probably got stuff that you got from like your grandfather, grandmother, or stuff like that, which you would pay, I don't know, 100,000 for or something like that, just to keep. And that's the interesting thing with the stories, is that the story of your grandfather giving you that particular book is of such immense value. The story itself, not the book, but the story associated to it. So the study of the significant object was a play with that, just to show that a story could increase the object's value by 6,000% by one single story.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah,
Just got one
that's
more here
crazy.
from Paul. Where do you find your inspiration, given that you're so busy? It's a good
True,
one.
yes. I'd love to answer that. You had one as well there, Nathaniel. Your background could
Yeah.
do with a little bit more intrigue. What's your response to that?
This one, I've got an excuse. I'm at my partner's house today, so I'm not my normal spot. But you notice the last name of this person who's dropped in the comment.
Michelle
This is my.
Bieber.
That's this is my mum being cheeky.
All right, fair enough.
Thanks, mum.
That was a good one. Never giving up on her son, is she? All right, Paul, where do I find my inspiration? I find my inspiration from the effects of what I do. I receive messages and emails every single day from the people I teach and people on TikTok, where they say that their life changed based on the skills that I gave them. They did not commit suicide because of the skills that I gave them. Their relationship was saved because of the skills that I gave them. Their life suddenly found meaning because of the skills that I gave them. And that's the core motivation of everything that I do. Now you have to make a living, so therefore I charge for my keynotes. So when corporations go to my master classes or they buy courses on my headgain.com platform, online platform, I charge for them. Yeah, because I got to make a living and I've got to have a team. I've got a team of 10 or 12 people helping me get my message across. But then on YouTube and TikTok, I share so much free information. It's insane. Some people actually go like, I had a salesperson who didn't want to start working for me because I shared too much information,
Oh,
which
really?
is
I saw that as a challenge.
just the wrong perspective. When I build my TED Talks, I ask myself, how can I take everything that I teach and give that to people in 18 minutes? They didn't have to buy another keynote from me. Everything should be in that keynote. Because if I know if I can deliver that much value in 18 minutes, it's going to be a success.
That's very smart. Yeah. A lot of foresight. And what are the topics that you speak on these days?
Digital presentation skills, which is so much fun. So I got like 200 people coming into a keynote and they got the cameras on. And I'm
Yeah.
like, what was your thinking? And I like point to one of the chaps, like, I can see the contents of your nostrils. Why have you placed your camera under yourself? Another one is when I speak to people, eye contact brings out oxytocin, which is the bonding neuropeptide in our brain. And if you have your camera there and you have your screen there, it just doesn't make sense. Imagine if I spoke like this for an entire session. So that doesn't work very well. That digital presentation skills is super fun. Storytelling, I do a lot. And then the masterclass and first class public speaking training. So yeah. I think that's mostly what I do at the moment. Yeah. I saw an interesting comment there. Lacey Saville said, our brain tells stories every day. And just a quick comment on that is that I do 6 years, seven, 8 years ago, I realized I'd been depressed for 19 years, which wasn't a nice realization. It was terrible. But I realized that. And I spent 1 year hacking my brain from a biological and neurological perspective because I knew so much about the brain. So I understood that I was low on serotonin and I was naturally low on dopamine. So I kind of rebalanced my brain. Anyhow, this led to me creating a WOW self-leadership course, which is a 3-day course on the subject. And one of the subjects of that course is this, that the most important story that you tell is the story you tell yourself. No other story is equal in importance. If you wake up in the morning and you tell hero stories about your day, it'll influence every single action, every single decision, every single meeting and presentation you go into. But if you tell sad stories about yourself and the day, that will also impact them, but in the wrong way. It's like, it's so important to be able to tell the right stories in your own head, and people are bad at that. People are judgmental, self-critical, and they give themselves so much shit that if they had a friend that gave them that much shit, told those stories about them, they'd break up with them momentarily.
David, do you have any mentors that have inspired you along the way, or any books that you've read that have been a big inspiration to you?
It sounds weird that to respond to that question and say no, because my philosophy in life has been to not read any books on public speaking. Because if I do, I'll be influenced by them. And I want to create my own perspective of public speaking. Mm. And the same thing is for self-leadership. My WOW course is different to any other course that I have ever seen or experienced or heard of, rather. So I created that. And then I went to other courses and I've read other books to see how they worked out. So I'd say my wife. My wife is my big... mentor in life. She is so wise. She's the opposite of me. I'm dopamine driven. I'm serotonin driven. She's oxytocin driven. So she's this person who's just present, asks questions, cares genuinely to the core about everything, every single thing that you say. I do as well, but she's just inhuman when it comes to this. Yeah, so that would be my bit of an odd response. But yours, what are your mentors?
Oh, I've been diving into personal development deep, but the guy that had the biggest impact on me in my life so far has been Tony Robbins.
Mm. Oh, he is good. He is good.
Yeah,
I could actually admit to that he has been a mentor to me as well.
Mm.
Well, and his stories. Do you remember the? The small horse story that he got when he was going to play pool. Do you remember that one?
No.
God.
Did he share that one?
I think it was UPV. Yeah.
UPV. All right. Okay.
You have to listen to that. It's brilliant, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know his stories. Maybe I've forgotten that one. It's just one of those things. He hit me at the right time in my life, you know. I was at a time in my life when I needed some answers, and I went to Unleash the Power then, and it answered a lot of them for me. Changed my direction, been back several times.
There's
countless guys out there, but he's the one who had the biggest impact on me, and his energy, you know, his big masculine energy is just like, you!
Listen to this.
Me up.
Oh, I've been listening.
Yeah. How have you found things in the last couple of years with the impact of what's going on in the world, on your business. Have you seen demand grow for virtual presentation skills and keynotes and things like that? Or did you find that there was a slump at the start because obviously you couldn't travel?
Yeah, it's quite the difference, right? Yes. January last year, I did 24 keynotes in 9 different countries. And then March, I did nothing. April, I did nothing. And then May, I did nothing. And then my wife had a stroke in June. So there we were. We had no income. Everything was canceled. And what I loved most was taken away from me. And then my best friend stole all the money in the company. And this was July. And I had to turn my entire company around from physical to digital and learn that, understand that, and somehow also help my wife feel better. And we did. And by September, she was feeling better. But it probably took until October and November until she was fairly back in business. And that's just about when our digital keynotes were skyrocketing. This October, I'm doing 30 keynotes in 1 month. And anyway, it's never been as much. It's incredible. And a lot of them are for Google, Microsoft, Salesforce, Facebook, big clients. I've had the best, worst year of my entire life. What is most important is that my wife is now back to 98%. And we never got the money back, but hey, you learn your lessons.
Your wife sounds absolutely fabulous, and my mum agrees, as you can see in the comments.
Hey, Michelle.
The polo,
Oh, she remembers that one.
is that the, oh, that's the one you're referring to. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. We got Alex in the house. Alex is based in Perth as well. All my West Aussies is coming in to support.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so I'm ready to start doing some online training. So which website do I go to, David? Which one is
Headgain.com
it?
is my online site.
Headgain.com.
Took me about 4 years to build that, and it's super comprehensive. I've never seen anything like it for public speaking anywhere. So yeah, anyone that wants to deep dive into that, and if you can hold off for like 2 weeks, we're launching a blended concept as well, where I'll be doing live training plus the online stuff through Headgain. So that could be
Perfect.
super awesome.
Yeah, that sounds ideal. Okay, well, thanks so much for your time. I know it's lunchtime there, it's the evening here. And thanks for everyone that tuned in live. If you're watching the replay, or you're watching the live, please do go follow David on whatever platform you're on, David JP Phillips, and go on to YouTube and check out his TED Talk, The Magical Science of Storytelling. Can't recommend it enough. Great place to start your journey with David. And David, thanks so much for being here with us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Hey, as there's so many horses here, I'll just say this. I want to go down and see your beautiful country. So we'll see if Nathaniel and I can set up kind of an open session and people can come book it. That would be freaking brilliant. But
Let's
we'll
do
see when it opens
it.
up. Besides that,
Yeah.
just love life, enjoy your day, and I hope I'll see you soon.
Thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Monday Night Live.